I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Dobrý večer and welcome to the Bohemian Podcast with Piet Coleman and Travis Stone.
It's time to dust off that tuxedo, put on your best evening dress, and lace up those dancing shoes. It's February in the Czech Republic, and that means it's ball season. Tonight, the Bohemian Podcast introduces you to the world of ballroom dancing, from the prep work of dance lessons to the dance floor at the finest locations in Prague. Good evening and welcome to the Bohemian Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Coleman.
And I'm Travis Dow.
Today, there are very few things that remind Czech people of their historic ties to the former Austro-Hungarian Empire, and the reasons are many. However, when it comes to the love of the ball season, those ancient misgivings are put aside. There is no doubt that Vienna has the spotlight as the European epicenter for this type of dance pageantry, but Prague is not far behind. Truth be told, the first ball was held in Paris in 1715, but the Viennese perfected the art through music, dress, and the pomp and circumstance that surrounds this gala season. When Bohemia was part of the Habsburg Empire, Praguers emulated Vienna with the importance of these types of social gatherings. Most of that was put on indefinite hold following the Nazi and communist occupations.
That's right, Pete. And if you want to destroy a cultural experience through occupation, just outlaw it for a couple of generations and there's a strong chance it'll disappear. Just look at the effects communism and its religious intolerance had on religion in Czechia after 40 years. Dance balls were discontinued in Czechoslovakia during communism and the tradition all but vanished, but much like in the movie Footloose, you just gotta dance. Okay, maybe Footloose is not a good comparison. The ball season is a lot more refined. Prague and the Czech Republic as a whole somehow held on to the notion that playing host to dancing balls and cotillions was important. Since 1989, the Czechs slowly but surely built back their reputation as a nation of refined balls and dancing galas. Today, in Prague alone, there are nearly a dozen balls that take place in February and many more similar dances, if you count the local high schools and community gatherings especially.
Now, knowing that there's a specific time of year for such activities, one can prepare for the various ballroom dance styles by signing up for dance lessons several months beforehand. There's a saying in Prague that there are more dance studios than students in the capital city. As a matter of fact, many say that if you are a competitive dancer that has won at least one competition, you too can open your own studio. As for the students, many Czechs already have some dance experience from grade school imposed classes and graduation balls. If my memory serves me correctly, some of our American listeners may have similar memories. You know, growing up in Virginia, many people of my generation were forced to do something called the Virginia Reel, which was a group of do-si-do type of folk dancing, if you will. It was the first time the PE teacher ever made you dance with a girl, and I can still remember the awkwardness and the sweaty hands. I have no idea why this ancient practice was mandatory in the early 1980s in Virginia school systems, but this places a nice little timestamp on my youth. However, here in Czechia, there is an expectation that you should know some basic moves and know your way around a waltz. I find it all very fascinating, and it really is a throwback to the days gone by.
All this is true about school kids being prepped for dancing balls, but it does not mean everyone is born to it. Some kids take courses called tanechni and try to be polished enough for the graduation ball, the maturitni ples. This, too, should not be too foreign of an idea as a graduation prom. It's a normal rite of passage at the end of high school. Maybe you ask yourself, what type of dances should I know for a typical ball? Well, it's really quite varied. You have your traditional waltzes, quick step, mixed in between with Latin styles. But ball season has another dimension that lures in adults. One of the older balls held in Prague is the Czechoslovak ball at the Municipal House in the Old Town. With an Art Nouveau backdrop and various types of music being played from jazz, traditional Czech folk pieces, the ball experience is enthralling. It is not uncommon for a full-fledged meal to be offered to keep up one's energy until the wee small hours of the morning. Now, the price tag attached to this magical night will not be cheap. Tickets costs range from a few hundred crowns for a local ball to 6,000 Czech crowns for a big end gathering. That's like $240. Plus, add in the tuxedo, gown, hairstyling for the ladies. You can see why this is only a once a year kind of event.
Speaking of planning ahead, it may be a good idea to keep a watch on certain Czech dancing ball websites about a year or so outside of the event, as many try to purchase tickets that early. Another hot ticket in town is the Opera Ball, held very closely to the National Museum on Wenceslas Square. The first Opera Ball was held in 1948, and then went on a 40 or so year hiatus. This high society ball is a way for the who's who of Czech inner circles to rub elbows with the all-star group of A-listers. Ticket sales usually go to charitable organizations. A few of the more well-known balls are the Medical Students Ball, the Czech Radio Ball, and the Crystal Ball held on the weekend of Carnival. We already mentioned the dress code, but let's dive a little bit deeper in what you will need to attend these balls. It has been said that a true gentleman should always have a tux in his closet, or a modern version of the tuxedo that basically looks like a nice dark suit. You know, I'm just lucky at all to have a jacket for a wedding, a funeral, or a job interview. And I think that may be true for many men, but this will not cut it for the ball season in Czechia. Women have a bit of a tougher time with this entire look and making a statement while being ready to dance the night away with full range of motion. Trav, you know, walk us through, if you can, the dress attire for both the men and the ladies here.
Okay, so much like the prep time to learn the dances, there's also the separation to find the correct attire. Men must wear black or a white tie, while women must wear floor-length evening gowns. Long gloves are not required for women, but are appreciated in this high-style atmosphere. Gloves for men are also seen, but the most prudent piece of this ensemble are the shoes. A high shine to the men's shoes is a nice touch, but much like hiking boots before a walk, the best footwear are the ones that are not new. The last thing you want is to have blisters on your feet from dancing and shoes not broken in. For the ladies, things get a bit trickier. Ball season is in the middle of winter, so wearing high heels in the snow does not seem like a great idea. It is a common scene to see beautifully dressed women exiting their car in long gowns, stylish winter shawls, and bulky, practical winter boots. Once inside, the stylish heels are substituted for the boots. These dress requirements are similar in Vienna-style ball etiquette as well, and that brings us to the difference between Vienna and Prague during the ball season.
The Vienna ball season has a long and uninterrupted history, and today still serves as part of an Austrian's identity. Young women still use the ball as a coming out party to announce their adulthood in society, and everyone just about loses it when it comes to the famous Viennese quadrille. The quadrille is a required form of dance at balls in Vienna. It may not be one of the highlights here in Prague, but it's still one of the more famous dances. The quadrille is a very intricate dance that originated in the 18th century and flourished in the 19th and 20th centuries. Performed by four couples in a rectangular formation, it is related more to what many would think of as the American square dancing. The Viennese made it more intricate by adding a few more steps to the already step-laden five-step movement. The Viennese believe having 6 to 8 steps adds that little bit of extra flair. To get a better idea of the Czech version of the ballroom season, I talked with native Prager Lucy Stenova. Lucy's experience is somewhat limited on the dance hall circuit, as she last attended a ball when she was in high school, but like many Czechs, the ball season is well known and is a cultural connection to these events. there are so many balls here, especially in Prague. And maybe we could talk a bit about what's out there for people that might be interested in taking part.
Hi, Pete. Yeah, sure. Let's talk about that. So ballroom dancing has a tradition here in Czech Republic. Basically, every child or every teenager at high school goes to ballroom dancing classes, and where they learn the basics.
There's a lot of balls in Vienna, and now in Prague after the Velvet Revolution in 1989, the ball season's back, you know, and even into the new millennium, it's very, very popular.
Yeah, it's true. It is popular here in Prague. We have very nice places where you can go for the ball. For example, there is the Municipal House in the center of Prague, then also the Slovanský dům, Lucerna, and for example, Žofín is a very nice building. It's a venue for the balls. It's actually located at one of the islands on the Vltava River.
But what is it like to get dressed up and kind of have that atmosphere? Are all these balls require, you know, men in tuxedos and women with long gowns? Is that still kind of like the attire that's required?
Yes, that's true. You have to dress for the occasion. So girls have, for the dance courses, the girls have a short dress, but then for the evening ball, you have to have a long dress. You also have to have gloves, boys as well as the girls.
What type of dances are we looking at here that you should kind of know as your repertoire before you even go to this, so you don't get embarrassed?
At these balls, there are two types. There are the standard dances and then the Latin American. So the standard, that would be, for example, waltz or quick step or slow fox or foxtrot. And then for Latin Americans, you have cha-cha, rumba, jive, or samba.
Maybe we could put it in perspective in this sense. Being Czech, you need to know about your beer, and you need to know about how to dance. Those are kind of like, you know, prerequisites growing up. You need to kind of know at the age of adulthood that those things have to be part of your life, right? Is that fair to say?
Yes, you could say that. Also, it goes together quite well. So if you are in one of the village balls, you drink a lot of beer, but then you dance something really quick like polka dance, and then you just dance the beer away and you can continue drinking. That's what they do there.
It's good. You sweat it out of your system, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Travis, before we call last dance this evening, can you give our listeners an idea of the music played at a typical Czech ball?
Yeah, sure. So think of the music as an eclectic melody of various musical genres. And because there are various styles of music played, that means you will need to be versed in different styles of dancing. Now, it's not as random as it seems. Of course, there will be classical numbers and traditional waltzes, but a dancing couple will need to be able to switch gears to a Latin flavor with the cha-cha, the Cuban salsa, even the tango argentino. Of course, there will be classics with a Czech connections, like such music composed by Smetana or Dvorak.
In closing tonight, I think what stands out to me is the continuation of this cultural tradition. Not everything was continued following the fall of communism, and I find it very interesting that the ball season has been resurrected and flourishes today. Trav, not many things have carried over from the Austro-Hungarian Empire as well, but the Viennese connection to the ballroom dancing season seems to be a strong reminder of the bohemian days of culture within the Habsburg Empire.
I think it's actually amazing that it did survive communism in the first place. It was it's surprising that it survived the Nazi days, because it was just so associated with Vienna, one would think. But even the communists, it was kind of a, because it was so, it was the epitome of bourgeoisie gatherings, and yet that itself became a form of rebellion, which I found was like very interesting. Even in schools, you could still learn these balls. So when communism was dropped, everybody, teachers were not hard to find. It wasn't a dead language to be revived. People just dusted off their ball gowns and tuxedos and headed into town. It's quite the amazing story, actually, not to be over-exaggerated. In a way, Prague is more Viennese than Vienna.
We want to thank you for listening this evening to the Bohemian Podcast, a proud member of the Agora Podcast Network. If you want more information on our other varied programs, you can visit podcastnik.com. That's podcastnik.com. Or hop on over to the bohemian.com website for all things Czech from an American perspective. So for Travis Dow, I'm Pete Coleman, saying goodnight from Prague.
You have been listening to the Bohemican Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Dow. Visit bohemican.com for more information on this episode, other episodes, and much more information about history, traditions, and culture in the Czech Republic. Find us on iTunes, subscribe, and review, and don't forget to rate us. We would love to hear from you. Send comments, ideas, and corrections on our comments page on bohemican.com, or get in touch via Facebook or Twitter. Tune in to our sister podcast, History of Alchemy, which is also on iTunes, or on historyofalchemy.com. Until next time on the Bohemican Podcast, thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.